to join us this morning. I'm going to give you longer than 30 seconds. The last time I was up here, I said I'd give you 30 seconds to introduce yourself. And today I'm going to give you a minute because we got started on time. Hi, Bill. I see you. Good to see you, Bill. But if you could just take a minute or two just to greet someone that you haven't seen this week or haven't seen in a while. So maybe this year, right? If you could be seated. Our announcements this morning, I'm not going to read every one of them. One thing I do want to make mention is we are resuming our Wednesday night dinners, so starting this Wednesday. So if you could fill out the RSVP and put in the offering plate so that we'll know how many to fix for. Also, have the attendance pads been passed out? Okay, could someone pass out the attendance pad, please, and please sign your name as you get yours. Also, I think starting this Tuesday night, where's Sonia at? Is Sonia here this morning? No. She's resting. She's resting before her exercise class begins this Tuesday night. There she is. I just said, did Sonia want to say anything about her exercise class? They said, no, you were resting. Okay. Okay. Are there any announcements that we need to make from the congregation this morning? Any other announcements?
The ordination and installation of the elders for the 2009 class, I think we'd call it. We will do that in the 10:15 service. And you're invited to come to that if you'd like to stay that long. If you want to slip out, that's okay. We won't think anything bad about you. 10:15, we will, at that service, we will ordain and install the elders. One to be installed, three to be installed, two of them will be ordained, first experience, at serving as the elder.
Okay. Do we have any first-time visitors here this morning? Any first-time visitors? Everybody's been here.
He's been here before, but he's put on his glasses today, so he looks different.
Any prayer or praise request? Pam? Good. Well, I'd say leave that list, put it in the offering plate for Joyce. I would say. Last name? Okay. We know we deal with them on a day-to-day basis, one or two at a time.
I'll add those who went to chaperone last week, too. Thanks to them. Praise to them.
Well, Richard's sitting here, and he made it back, so.
Barely, right?
Pam made it back. So, praise the chaperones who made it back, I guess. Is. I'm sorry, sir. Claire, maybe you better go next time. What was the last name?
On Newsom Lane, he's in the fire department and also works here. Right. And we, most of us know Vernon, so yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Eastern Orthodox Church, Russia is included, celebrates Easter today. And she wants this to be, I mean Christmas today, I'm sorry. And then wants this to be a positive thing for the glory of God.
Joyce, did you have your hand up? Thank you, Christy. And she was at the ball game Friday night. I saw her. Still as little as a little. Yeah, you look at women like that and you think, Yeah. She was just like she always is. I asked her, I said, last time I saw you, you were expecting. And so, but Tanya looked great. She said the baby was doing great. She was watching Blaine play ball. I mean, you'd never know she'd had a baby.
Mr. Horton from Mount Carmel. What's his first name? William Horton. He was here yesterday. Looks great. He had a stroke, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? Praising God that even God got his attention through the stroke. And he's just rejoicing. Also, Joe Vault, a minister up in Kentucky, I believe, right now. Years ago, he came on Christmas Eve and served communion here. He was at Richland Church a while. He had a heart attack this morning, and we got a call for it. So lift up Joe Vault, V-A-U-G-H-T.
Are there others?
Dylan, put that on a note card, too. Pam, give him a note card. Yeah.
Any others?
We may need to have a prayer meeting instead of a preaching service.
Yeah. If not, please remember those we have mentioned. If you have a silent request, pray for that. Please remember all our armed forces serving wherever they may be. Pray for those that possibly will be sent over in the coming weeks. As we prepare our hearts for worship, just remember a prayer you could pray. Oh Jesus, our great high priest, be present with us as you were present with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of bread. Let's take a moment for silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive if you were turning your bulletins. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. But as a kind of worshipers the Father seeks, God is spirit.
And his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
Let's all stand this morning and turn in our hymnals to hymn 66. We're going to sing the first and the last. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things He hath wrought. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life as atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Let us bow for prayer. Lord God, we thank You that we can come together to offer praise to You. And we thank You, Lord, that we can come before You and share our concerns and share with each other. And Lord, that together we can lift every need up to You, every hurt, every pain, every illness. But Lord, we also thank You that we can bring our joys and our rejoicing. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word to us, and especially that we can share it together. Thank You for being our friend through Jesus Christ, that special friend. But Lord, we know that even before You sent Him, You were a friend of Your people. And thank You. Praise be unto You. And Lord, as we have assembled this morning and poured our hearts out before You, one to another, is praise unto You that You receive every request and You're able to respond in a way that we don't even know what is best, but You do. And thank You for that wisdom that You possess and that You act with in all situations. Continue to guide us in this service. Speak to us through every aspect of it, and let us truly bring glory to You, not only in Your house, but when we go out into the world. In the name of Jesus, we offer this prayer, now coming as He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's state our faith through the Apostles' Creed and then sing together the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
Thank you. You may be seated. We come to the time in our service where any burdens or concerns that we have on our hearts, we can offer them to God. Our call to confession today comes from Matthew 9:13. But go and learn what this means.
I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now if you'll turn in your bulletin, the prayer of confession in unison. God of glory, you sent Jesus among us as the light of the world to reveal your love for all people. We confess that our sin and pride hide the brightness of your light. We turn away from the poor. We ignore cries for justice. We do not strive for peace. In your mercy, cleanse us of our sin and baptize us once again with your Spirit, that forgiven and renewed, we may show forth your glory shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness is from John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. I'll just make a note. Brother Larry has already talked about the elders. As he mentioned, if you want to stay and watch them be ordained and one installed, they'll be installed.
All three installed. Yeah. One ordained. I will call to your attention the insert concerning elders. We will refer to it during the sermon also, but it's called to your attention. The questions, but we won't go over the questions. You can read them at your leisure. And the questions to the elders elect, the questions to the congregation as they are set aside for this special duty for a 3-year term.
Turn in your hymnals again now, if you will, please, to hymn 51, verses 1 and 2.
First Sunday of the year, but also we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion the first Sunday of each month. It just happens to be the first Sunday of the new year, and then also the first Sunday of the month. I chose the Pew Bible so that you might want to follow with me and have the same words, the same version, and it's 1 Corinthians 11. And it's page 812, if you want to turn there. And we'll begin with verse 23 for Paul's instruction to the Corinthian church concerning what the Lord revealed to him
about the Lord's Supper. And he says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. These are the instructions. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
With those words, let me invite all of you who are trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior to eat, remembering the broken body that paid for your sin, the shed blood that was shed for the removal of your sin, or a Bible word is the remission of your sin.
Lord God, we remember what we just read, that Jesus gave his body to be broken for us. And he gave us a way to remember that, broken for our sins. And as this bread is broken, Lord, we thank you and we pray that you have borne our sins in your body through your Son Jesus Christ. David, remember Christ's body broken for you. Lord God, we thank you for that blood that you were willing for your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to submit yourself to the thorns on your head, the spear in your side, the spikes in your leg, that your blood might be shed, giving up your heart, we might have life in time. Bless this cup, Lord, to our spiritual nourishment, our spiritual growth. Lord, to be any sin unconfessed in our life, we claim your blood right now. Share with you. If you haven't received, please share this with me. Thank you.
God again, we offer thanks for your great gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came as a man, grew to be a man, and gave his life for us. Thank you. In his name, that man is Jesus.
I would just like to praise the Lord for us being able to worship freely every Sunday. But I think it's wonderful that we have two people in our church that has the musical talent, like Melanie and Savannah, that we can enjoy that as we partake of the elements. We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Gifts to us, your spiritual gifts, your material gifts. Thank you for inviting us to return a portion to be used in your work. Lord, bless these gifts that they might truly bring glory to you and add people to your kingdom. Do we have anybody reading Scripture today? Okay. Our Scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right, and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup,
but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the 2 brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
I guess everybody, well, a lot of people, like to be in charge. They really do. I guess every mother likes for her child to be the one that's in charge. And in our lesson today, we see that it was the mother that went and asked that her sons be given a special place in the kingdom when Jesus entered it. But let's talk about service today. And sometimes a servant is not the person in charge. Gary started it last week, but I believe that Steve Alamore called his attention to it. Since the men were to preach, or got to service last week, Steve asked Gary if he would preach on service or servant. Gary agreed, and you thought he said everything could be said about service, didn't you? He kept us till the kitchen crew was ready, and nobody got up and walked out on him or anything like that. So, Gary, you set a precedent, and thank you. But I want to continue. Gary didn't say everything. Tuesday morning as we met, I said, "Gary, what about this verse? Where is it found?" And he found it for me. And I want to dwell on it. It's verse 28, the last verse in your scripture for today. Jesus' comment about himself. He came not to be served, but to serve. And especially is the role of servant fitting, since we are ordaining elders today. I'm convinced that the role of the servant is that of a servant. There are other aspects of that job, but being a servant stands high above anything else. The role of the minister, the preacher, or the pastor is that of a servant. And I believe that I have fit that role as well as anybody as a pastor that I know has fit it. Maybe I don't know those other people. That's been one of my beliefs, and I've tried to live by that belief, being a servant. And I may have let other things go in an effort to be a servant. Now, sometimes I have to give my direction, my own direction, to where I will serve. People ask me, "Will you do me a favor?" And I have to say, "Let me hear it first. Let me hear it first." I may not be able to do what you want me to do. And I believe that's the same thing Jesus did too. I think I'm being biblical and following the example of Jesus. If you read that passage, verse 21, before Jesus said, "Okay, whatever you say, lady," he said, "What is it you want? Tell me what you want, then we'll see if we can do it." And then everything that is asked may not be what we get from God or from me, or from your elders. But the role is that of a servant. The role of the person in the pew is also the role of a servant. And it's more serving God, but it's also serving one another as we are doing it in God's name. So, the elders, the minister, the pastor, and the person in the pew. Our role is that of servant. In the last verse of our scripture lesson, Jesus is recorded as saying, "The Son of Man," and this is a portion of this statement, "the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Give his life as a ransom. We know about ransom money because we've watched enough television or read enough experiences from the newspaper that we know when someone kidnaps a child or an adult, it is the payment that the kidnappers are requesting is ransom money. We will free this child of yours if you will put so many dollars in a suitcase or a duffel bag and drop it in a garbage can somewhere in a park on I-40, etc., etc., etc. Well, Jesus gave himself to free us from sin. And that was, I don't know any greater service. He even said himself, no greater love has any person than this, than a person would lay down his life for his brother. And that's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us. The ultimate in showing love, the greatest way that he could show love. He went through death, separation from God, descended to Hades for a time in order to free us from Satan and his clutches. And Satan had no choice and has no choice but to free us when we claim that death of Christ as being a ransom for us. A ransom for many. I'm glad he didn't say just a few. Somebody might have said, you're not included in the few. Jesus set the example of being a servant. God himself set the example. God himself in the form of a man. That was Jesus. God. That one who created it all. James Weldon Johnson talks about him taking some dirt up in his hands and shaping it and forming it and then spitting out the oceans, etc. That creator. Not only the one who made us or created us, but the one who sustains us. The one who holds us up every day. Whether we recognize his presence or not. And the one who carries us in those times that we couldn't carry ourselves. The one who is a spirit called to worship. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, creator, sustainer, God who is a spirit, all wrapped up in flesh and blood and capillaries and fiber. God, who spoke and the universe came into being, a servant in the person of Jesus. God come to earth serving us. Climb down from heaven, if you will. Philippians talks about how He gave up His place. Jesus did. He came down to heaven to serve us. Humbling, isn't it? Does it get your attention? Elders. Elders make pronouncements and they enjoy making pronouncements. I've been a part of them. See, the preacher is called a teaching elder. He's a member of the session and he goes to presbytery as a member of presbytery, a teaching elder, along with ruling elders. We like the part ruling and even teaching, and we get to presbytery, we get to help rule. And then on to synod and general assembly. Elders make pronouncements. Elders set policy. And they need to. That's a requirement. That's part of their task. We're supposed to. But I'm convinced there's a greater task. And that is the role of a servant. The role of a servant. Jesus not only spoke of being a servant, He lived it. John chapter 13 is one prime example. He gathered with the disciples on the night in which He was betrayed in the upper room. And John doesn't tell us about Him serving communion, but John tells us about Him washing the disciples' feet. John chapter 13. Peter had a hard time accepting that Jesus would be his servant, because Jesus had called Peter to come and work with him. Jesus was the boss. Peter kept trying to barge in on that position. Oftentimes he did. Even this time when Jesus said, "I'm going to wash you boys, the feet of you boys," Peter said, "You can't do it. Not mine." And then when Jesus said, we don't need to preach too long on Peter this morning, but Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you can't be a part of me." Jesus said, "Well, just give me," Peter said, "just give me a bath. Wash me all over." And Peter said, "No." Jesus said, "No, Peter. You just need to wash your feet. That may be the boss. As I'm a servant, let me choose how I will serve you." After washing the disciples' feet, He instructed the disciples to wash the feet of one another. He had them to wash each other's feet. Did they need it twice? Did they need it right then? Would they choose another time to wash their feet? He says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You should do as I have done for you." Need to be a servant. Need to be a servant. John 15 and then 16 and 17. "I no longer call you a servant." Does that mean we don't have to be a servant? "I no longer call you a servant." Well, if you just take that portion of the verse, we're not servants any longer. Well, let's keep a reading. And actually he says, I no longer call you a servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And then verse 17, this is my command. Love each other. Basically, he is saying we're friends, better than a servant, a stronger relationship than that of a servant. I see it as we are working together. Working together. Working together. You do it. Back in verse chapter 13. You do it because I set the example. Then verse 16, chapter 13. No servant is greater than the master. And then he goes on to talk about the blessings in verse 13 as well as in chapter 13 as well as in chapter 15. The Apostle Paul, our great example as a servant. Romans, he opens the book calling himself a servant. Titus, he opens the book calling himself a servant. Acts chapter 20, he refers to himself as a servant. Philippians, he calls himself and his helper Timothy as servants. I've called your attention to the duties of the elder as listed. Each of you have a handout there or an insert. I just call you to look at that. And then at verse chapter 15, friends. Christy, thank you for affirming my sermon this morning. You didn't know you were doing that. But we're thinking that we need friends. And a friend is so much greater than a servant. There's a difference. It's a step higher. It's a better relationship. One way to serve was told by David Brannan, or Brannan, in the December the 16th Daily Bread, 2005. And he told about his mother-in-law, Ms. Tuttle. He said that at the funeral of the mother-in-law, the pastor showed the congregation her prayer box. So how can we be a servant in the kingdom of God? This lady used a prayer box. And there were some prayer concerns in her prayer box. Dozens of prayer cards where she had written the names of people that she had prayed for. One included in the box, one note prayed for the pastor's gallbladder surgery. On top of that prayer box was the verse, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And Mr. Branham confessed that his mother-in-law, Ms. Tuttle, was a true prayer warrior. And she was diligent in this servant role. She was diligent to pray for the great needs of the people in that congregation. How can we be a servant? Oh, there are so many ways. Some of them that people will never even know about. Servant. I printed out some references to the servant, the various verses in the Bible that refer to serve. And so many of them refer to us serving God. So when we serve our fellow man, we're also serving God. Paul suggested, challenged, everything you do, do it as if you were doing it for God. From somewhere in my past, we sang a song, "Work, for the night is coming, when man's work is done." And there are many more verses or phrases to that. But serve. Serve. For the time is coming when we will not be able to serve anymore. Our song is 483. I want to sing the first and the third stanza. It's an invitation for God to be out front, leading us. And I want us to think about Him leading us in service to mankind for the glory of His kingdom. Let's stand together and sing, "Lead On, O King Eternal," verse 1 and 3.
Serve you in Christ's name. Amen.